Everybody, I'm an alcoholic and a party crasher. My name's Bill. Welcome back. Good to be here again. This is week six of 6 weeks that I'm doing here. Tonight we're going to do a meditation workshop. So just to remind everybody, please make sure your phone is off, not just set on vibrate, because a vibrating phone will disturb the people next to you. Because we'll be doing some silent meditation, so just to mention that. Thank you for your cooperation. I was laughing at the beginning of the meeting when they said that I asked the group not to make coffee. And then I started thinking, I wonder which is worse, people drinking coffee and trying to meditate, or people going through coffee withdrawal and trying to meditate. So thank you for that little piece of entertainment inside my head. That was very cute for me. So, without assuming a holy position and without moving in any way from the position you're in right now, just simply close your eyes. I'd like to start tonight with a very simple meditation. Let's start first with two deep breaths in and deep breaths out. And then just settle back down into normal, uncontrolled breathing. Now, the meditation I'd like you to work with for the first few minutes is simply this. Become aware of your breathing in the center of your chest as the air comes in and out. And starting with the next one, or the next one after I stop speaking, breathe in and out and say to yourself silently, one. And then breathe in and out and silently say to yourself, two. And what we're going to do is we're going to count up to 25. And then when we get to 25, then we'll go to 24 and we'll count down back to zero. And then that'll be the end of the meditation. Now, there's a little bit of a trick there. There's only about 20 of us that's going to be able to stay with this all the way to 25 and back. So if you find yourself in the middle of the meditation and you lose track of your counting, then simply go back to the beginning and start at one again. So let's start now with the first breath. Thank you. So for how I breathe, that was being able to go to 25 and back. So just take another breath and then open your eyes. So meditation, yeah. Some thoughts on meditation. Ultimately, meditation is about self-acceptance. Because in meditation, we go within, and if we're able to more and more have acceptance of whatever it is that we find and not argue with it, then more and more we can have acceptance toward however life shows up or other people. So meditation is kind of an interesting thing. Now, let me start with the definition that I use for meditation, because as I see meditation, I'm trying to disengage from the mind as opposed to engaging the mind. So the definition that I heard one time, that as far as I'm concerned is the greatest definition I've ever heard for how I see meditation, is meditation is putting your attention on something other than thought. Now, we sort of engage thought in that first one to be able to count. So that's why I'm giving the definition now, after that meditation. But I've used guided meditations, and I even did one Saturday with a group that they were doing a guided meditation. And guided meditations are great, but I think guided meditations are useful in the beginning, but in a relatively short period of time, I think it's not necessary, that we should be able to just do it within ourselves. So meditation, as I see it, is putting my attention on something other than thought. So the two meditations that we're going to do after this will be purely that definition. So in talking about meditation, especially in AA, it's always kind of interesting because although it's very much all over the literature, in having conversations with lots of people all around the United States all year round for many years, what I find is that what most people do by way of meditation is they take out this small book, they read one page, and then they think about what it said. And I just want to be very clear that when I talk about meditation, that's absolutely not what I'm talking about. Now, I use a daily reflection book every day, and I've used over 30 of them. But I personally wouldn't refer to that as meditation. If you want to call that meditation, that's perfectly fine. I'm just saying that for myself, in defining what it is when I use language, I just want you to know that's definitely not what I'm talking about. I would call that contemplation, or I would call that reflection. That's why those are called daily reflection books. And there's nothing wrong with that, but when I talk about and use meditation, it's definitely significantly different than that. So, if you haven't figured out already after 5 weeks, let me just say that I tend to be kind of extreme with certain things, and I would strongly suggest that you really don't start experiencing the benefits of meditation unless you do it every day without exception. There's nothing wrong with doing meditation a few times a week or once a week or whatever. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But in my experience, it wasn't until I started using it every single day that I started really diving into the benefits of what meditation can do for us. There is no single thing more beneficial physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally for a human being than meditation. There's no single thing more beneficial. There might be groups of things that might be more beneficial, but there's no single thing that's more beneficial for a human physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally than meditation. And when I was not as committed to meditation, how I sort of experienced it was, you know, let's say like every 2 or 3 days I meditated. And when I didn't meditate, there would be sort of a loss of connection or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, if I didn't meditate for 2 or 3 days, I was experiencing life from the -3, -5, -10 place. And then when I would meditate, it would bring me back to zero. And I was always at zero or in the negative. But then when I started meditating on a daily basis, then I started experiencing the benefits +3, +5, +10, +1 million. So I would like to emphasize and encourage a daily meditation practice. Also, what's helpful in regard to meditating is trying to meditate at the same place every day. Now, for some of us, that's not possible. For many of us, it's very possible. I used to have a spare bedroom, and I would meditate in that bedroom every day. And it's funny because sometimes when people slept over my house, that's where they would sleep. And inevitably, they would say to me, "Wow, that is the best sleep I've ever had. That room is like totally comfortable." Like there's this accumulative spiritual energy that begins to occur when we meditate at the same place. So I would like to throw that out as helpful also. Also, like for instance, we had a script violator with the phone going off during the meditation. And during meditation, that's all part of the meditation. There's nothing wrong when the phone rings. There's nothing wrong when the garbage truck shows up. There's nothing wrong when the neighbor slams the door. There's nothing wrong when your child breaks into your room while you're meditating. That's simply part of the meditation and is met as such. I remember when I first started playing with that aspect of it, I was meditating for an hour at a time each morning, and every once in a while the phone would ring. And at first it was pissing me off because, you know, don't you know who I am and that right now you should know I'm meditating now, right? You know. And then I started playing with it as part of the meditation, and sometimes I would get up and answer the phone and sometimes I wouldn't. And when I would get up to answer the phone, I would try to stay in meditation. And I would try to discover if the phone call was, you know, an emergency or something pretty serious. If it wasn't, I would say, you know, listen, let me call you back. And then I would sit again in continuation. And it was really interesting. And when I first started meditating, I remember one time I was in a room. I was living in Upper Darby near Philly at the time, and I was in a spare room with the door closed, and everybody knew that at that time I usually was meditating, and one of my wife's kids crashed into the room and needed something or whatever and was met with, you know, can't you see I'm meditating? And I overreacted and apologized and, you know, wasn't a good spiritual moment, let's call it. And, you know, then seeing, you know, I got to work with this as part of it because, you know, every time you go to sit, there's going to be something happening around the world, you know, around the world or in the house or whatever, you know what I mean? So these are things that can make meditation a little bit easier when it's just seen as part of the meditation. I remember there's a famous circuit speaker, and he was talking with me, and from his energy, I could sort of tell he was trying to impress me, and he mentioned something about how he meditates 3 times a day. And I looked at him and I said, why come out of meditation? And he gave me this really dirty look because he was trying to impress me, and obviously he hadn't, you know. That doesn't mean that we sit on our sofa with eyes closed for the whole day or something. You know what I mean? Like, we live, we work, we drive, we go to meetings. But when we're able to just be present, when we're able to just be with what is without creating a story around it, then those are more and more daily moments of conscious contact. And the more moments of conscious contact, obviously, is a good thing. And it leads to a lot more peace, and it leads to a lot more value in our life, and a lot more being able to show up for others without dumping our stuff on them. So, moving in that direction is also, you know, sort of part of it. There's, you know, sort of the official, you know, meditation, whatever, but meditation is a way that we approach life, not something we do for 5 minutes each morning. You know what I mean? Also, if you've never meditated before and you want to start having a daily practice, what I would suggest that you do is start with about 3 minutes and no more. We as Americans, and especially we as men and women that tend to want to be sort of overachievers, let's call it, it's just best to start with a really small amount of time first, because what ends up happening is, you know, we want to start with a half hour or something, you know what I mean? And 3 minutes into it, we're like, you know, obviously the alarm clock is broken because it should have went off. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? And then there's this huge distraction. And if we can just start with a small amount of time with a timer that goes off in sort of a quiet-ish kind of way. There's a really good app on our phone, or at least on my iPhone. It's called Insight Timer. It's a really excellent meditation app. I've played with a bunch of them, and as far as I'm concerned, it's the best one I found. I'm sure there's other ones, but with my small dabbling into finding an app, that's one I would recommend. And then after you'll reach a point where you're like, you know, three's easy. Then make it five. And then work with five for a while. You know, I'm talking about, you know, 3 months or something. And then you'll see that, you know, five's pretty easy. And then make it seven. And just small increments up. And I would say a good place to work toward is 20 minutes. Because I think if after 20 minutes, if you're not able to get there, quote unquote, then if you do it for 30 minutes, you're not going to be able to get there either. So 20 minutes is a good amount. If you want to take meditation seriously, I think that's a good place to work toward, and not, you know, necessarily needing to go over that. There's a famous line from a really famous spiritual book that says that, you know, 5 minutes spent with the Holy Spirit guarantees that the Holy Spirit will be with you for the rest of the day. Now, I don't want to get into a debate of the language of that, or is there a Holy Spirit or whatever. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes it takes 10 or 15 or 20 minutes to get the 5 minutes in. For those of us that meditate, you know exactly what I just said. You know what I mean? It takes, you know, it's not 100% perfect activity each time we do it. Sometimes there's only 5 good moments in a 20-minute meditation. You know what I mean? There's a famous Oxer Group quote. The Oxer Group is where AA came from. And the Oxer Group quote goes like this, that more light comes through 2 windows than 1. So meditating in groups is really nice. So seeing if your family wants to try it out, seeing if your wife wants to try it out, finding a meditation group near you. There's 11-step meetings that use meditation at each of their meetings. This meeting uses a 2-minute meditation. You know, it's. I always laugh. There's certain people that lead certain groups, and what's in the format is, you know, let's have a moment of silence followed by the Lord's Prayer or something, you know what I mean? And then it's, and they go, okay, well, let's have a moment of silence followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art, and it's like, wait a minute, where did the moment of silence go? Like, they didn't literally mean one moment. Like, you know, let's have a few conscious breaths together, you know what I mean? Like, in silence. Once you start meditating more regularly, uncomfortable moments, uncomfortable silences become very comfortable. It's gotten to the point now where, you know, I can start observing my breath standing in line at the supermarket. Because I'd rather do that than to count the person's basket in front of me, because it's a 10-item line and they have 12 items. Because I know, because I counted it. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? When I'm stopped at a red light, I'd rather become conscious. If I can do that more and more. Television commercials are perfect opportunities to become conscious of your breath. Television commercials are a complete waste of time. Put your phone, put your television on mute and just be with yourself for a minute. Probably the greatest way that we could wake up from sleep is just to be within our body for a minute and not spring up into, you know, whatever. Spring up into silliness land in our head, you know what I mean? Like, just notice your breathing, you know what I mean? The first conscious moment that you realize that you're awake before you've moved, just be in your body for a minute. It's a really, really wonderful way to start the day. Notice the energy in and around the body. It's like there's this bubble of energy and a bubble of awareness, which is our true nature, which is our spiritual essence. Let me read this quote about meditation that I think is really good. Watching is meditation. What you watch is not the point. The object you are watching is not the point. The quality of observation, the quality of being aware and alert, that's what meditation is. Whatsoever you do with awareness is meditation. Real meditation knows nothing of distraction. That's its grace, its beauty, its grandeur. Nothing can disturb it. If your meditation can be disturbed, that simply means that you are concentrating and have not yet tasted meditation. Meditation is so vast, it can contain everything, absorb everything, and yet remain completely empty. That's a great place. We can be there in the middle of an argument. Of course, we never choose to want to be, because we want to engage in moments like that. I said in previous sessions about creating a space where life or anybody can show up and we can be all right with it. Just create a space where no matter how life shows up, we can be all right with it. That's meditation. Meditation is not something we do. Meditation is something that we are. Now, it's always interesting also that I've had conversations with people about meditation, and then they're like, well, you know, I don't have time to meditate because, you know, I have to get up at 4 o'clock to go to work. Now, there isn't anybody in this whole entire world that can't get up 3 minutes earlier. And what I always say to people like that is the following, and I know this is really annoying, but sometimes I like being annoying, especially around stuff that I think is important and that I know could be helpful. And what I'll say to them is, you know, do you always find time to eat every day? And they say, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, you got to eat. And then I pause and I say, well, I think meditation is more important than that. And I know it's annoying and, you know, whatever. But then I also say something that I think is really important. And this is what I want to say to all of us that think that they have a valid excuse to not meditate on a daily basis. And that is that it's not that you don't have time to meditate. It's that it's simply not a priority for you. Don't let your mind fool you. That's literally all that's going on there. Meditation is simply not a priority for you. And if it is or if it isn't, that's perfectly fine. But don't believe the hype that your mind is going to tell you about it. There's no single thing more beneficial. But, you know, I don't have time today. You know what I mean? I don't have time today. And then here's another one that I really love. This is from St. Francis de Sales. He said, half an hour of meditation each day is essential, except when you are very busy. Then a full hour is needed. Right? Because, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be going into like a really serious meeting and I'm going to cut back on my meditation that day. You know, maybe I need a little bit more meditation that day to be present for whatever happens when I got smashed by whatever meeting is really important or whatever. So, you know, just some thoughts that clarify things, I think, or just emphasize properly as far as I'm concerned. I haven't missed a morning meditation. I've missed maybe two or three morning meditations since 2000. So I've been doing this pretty seriously for about 20 years. And I've only missed maybe two or three mornings. And two of those probably were, you know, an emergency started the day. So, you know, my more official meditation time didn't happen. And maybe I did it, you know, later in the morning or in the afternoon, or I didn't do it at all. I'm extreme with it, but I don't feel it's not like an obsession. I don't feel that, oh, if I missed it, that, you know, I'm some loser or something. You know what I mean? Like, life's going to happen. I realize that sometimes it's not possible, but the other 99.9% of the time, it's very possible as far as I'm concerned. In my own experience, I've seen that. I'm a very busy person. I'm a very active person, and it's just a priority for me. So I do it. Sometimes it's briefer than other times. Currently, I do about 20 to 30 minutes every morning. And I don't use a timer anymore, so that's why I don't know when it's going to end or how it's going to end. But it generally goes between about 20 or 30 minutes every morning. And my beautiful cat, Shaolin, sits next to me. And she lays down about 3 inches from me and takes one paw and puts it on the side of my leg. It's the most beautiful thing. And then before my third cat had died a few years ago, she used to meditate with me every day. And I would get up in the morning and sometimes I'd get into stuff. I'd do my readings, I'd get into stuff. And she would literally come down and just look at me and meow and say, you know, are we meditating today? Like... And then we would go upstairs and she would jump on my lap and she would just purr and just sit on my lap. The whole set, it was so beautiful. I'm such a crybaby. I love this quote. God's grace is always falling down on us like rain, but usually we forget to cup our hands. And meditation is one of the ways that we cup our hands. God's grace is always falling down on us like rain, but usually we forget to cup our hands. Again, without assuming a holy position or moving really in any way, just close your eyes. Again, let's start with three deep meditations in and out. And then settle down into normal, unforced or uncontrolled breathing. And this time, gather your attention at the tip of your nostrils. And close your mouth and begin noticing the air coming in and out at the tip of the nostrils. Just observe the sensations as the air comes in and out, just at that one location. Above your upper lip. And if you get distracted by a noise or whatever, just notice that you've been distracted and then bring your attention back to wherever we are in the meditation. Or if your mind's saying to you, this is stupid, I don't want to do this, just silently say to your mind, thanks for sharing, and then bring your attention back to wherever we are in the meditation, which right now is just observing the sensation of air coming in and out of the tip of your nose. Now begin to look a little bit more closely in the same area and see if you can notice that when the air comes in, it's a little bit cooler than when the air goes out because the room temperature is less than the body temperature. So see if you can begin to notice that when the air comes in, it's a little bit cooler than when the air goes out. This really begins to fine-tune the awareness. Now bring your attention further in and start to notice the sensations in your lungs as they fill with air and then release the air. Just notice what it feels like when your lungs fill up and when they release. What's interesting about the lungs is that they're actually pretty big. They go sort of all the way from the top of the chest all the way down to the belly, so it's a very wide area. It's always interesting to notice the breathing because we're always breathing, but we hardly ever notice. Observing the breath also is a really good way of centering ourselves during stressful times at work. Just getting out of the head for a minute is really good, times like that. Now become aware that when we inhale, as soon as the inhale is over, the exhale starts immediately. But after we exhale, usually there's a little bit of a pause before the next inhale. See if you can become aware of that little pause. And then, when the time seems right, open your eyes. An interesting fact about breathing is that the exhale is, for most people, the last thing that they do before they die. So sometimes I'll do breathing meditation and I'll take each breath that seriously. You know what I mean? Like, well, I wonder if this is going to be the last one, you know? Really get you focused, you know? All of a sudden, breathing is really important, you know? Just something to play with, you know what I mean? Anything to put our attention on something other than thought. Because thought, in thought is the only place that we can be separated from God. As a matter of fact, I'll go so far as to say that spirituality is everything outside of human thought. Have fun with that one. So meditation, some more about meditation. So, one of the things I like talking about in regard to the mind, spirituality, meditation, et cetera, is there are only three gateways into instant conscious contact. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying there's three major ones or there's three popular ones. I'm saying what I'm trying to say, and that is that there are only three gateways into instant conscious contact. So, obviously what I'm about to say might be kind of important. The first gateway is complete acceptance of what is. In other words, allowing everything to be as it is. The second gateway into instant conscious contact is being completely in this moment. In other words, no past and no future. And the third gateway into instant conscious contact is dropping into the body. And I usually add below the neck, because then you know I'm not talking about dropping into the body, into the mind, into the control tower called the mind. A sentence that could encompass all three of the only gateways into instant conscious contact is allowing everything to be as it is in this moment while dropping into the body. And those are the only meditations that I work with and the only meditations that I basically talk about. What's interesting about the three gateways into instant conscious contact is that the only part of us that's not accepting what is the mind. The only part of us that isn't in this moment is the mind. So, with those three gateways, the mind is completely unnecessary.
Could you say that again?
No. So, every single person in this room, every single person that's ever lived, and every single person on the face of this earth that's ever had a spiritual experience, one, two, or all three of those conditions were present. And all the religions and spiritual paths talk about one, two, or all three of those in some form or other. So what were you looking for?
The three together. That you
said. Right. Allowing everything to be as it is in this moment while dropping into the body. So allowing everything to be as it is. The mind has an absolute inability to accept anything. The only thing that rejects what is the mind. The mind is a criticism looking for an excuse, literally. The mind is literally a story that's constantly going that the present moment is insufficient. As Americans, I can only speak for Americans. I had a girlfriend who wasn't an American, but I can't really speak for other cultures. But I know that the everything is not enough story is in every American's head. And part of that is because every commercial is based on your life is insufficient, and if you have our product, then you're going to be complete. So culture just keeps hammering us with, you are not enough. And it's worse because we have a story in our head that tells us that we're not enough. And that's something that needs to be worked on very seriously and very soon. because that is a big part of our problem, is the insufficient story that's rattling in our head constantly. I remember Chuck Chamberlain used to go around and annoy people by saying, you know, it's never going to get any better than this. And that's the truth, because whatever's happening in this moment, it's never going to get any better than that in this moment. But you see, the mind has three simple strategies. The present moment is insufficient or irrelevant, so don't pay attention to the present moment. So what you need to do is you need to live in the past and be pissed about it, or you need to be in the future and be afraid of it. And the mind is in a constant state of don't pay attention to the present, and the present is all there is. The present is the only reality that exists, and we have a mind that suggests that the present, which is the only thing that exists, is insufficient or irrelevant. So if you're not in the present, then you have to live in the past, which doesn't exist, or you have to live in the future, which never happens. There's a famous quote, I think it was, who's the guy that wrote Tom Sawyer or Huck Finn or whatever?
Mark Twain.
Yeah, I think Mark Twain said that, I've lived my life where 90% of all my fears never happened. But we walk around with this story in our head because we are listening to this part of us that completely disregards the only reality there is, and that's this moment. It's pathetic, really. It's sad. But you see, the mind is very cunning, baffling, and powerful. And what I mean is that you have to have a lot of respect for this thing that's within you that gets you to do something that you know you shouldn't do and then beats you up for doing it. And the messed up thing is that most people go through their whole lives and then die and never notice that that's what's going on. But you see, we as alcoholics and addicts, it's very interesting in that we're an extreme example of this chatter. So we reach a point either through our drinking or after we've stopped drinking or whatever. We reach a point where it's just too much. And hopefully we start hearing stuff like I've been sharing pretty much all six of these sessions because really that's our only hope, because our family believes their thoughts and what's in their mind, and our culture believes their thoughts and what's in their mind, and everybody around us. And fortunately we're an extreme example of craziness in our head gone bad. It's really good that we're so screwed, Because we have to hit bottom with that. Then and only then can we consider another way. So it's very, very interesting. And for those of us that aren't there yet, it's very entertaining. Hopefully for you. Because, you know, if it's not entertaining, it's miserable. It's miserable. It's all kinds of levels and percentages of misery. And that's the only way that it goes, unfortunately. Also, I don't know if I said it here. I might have. My favorite bumper sticker is "Please don't believe everything you think." And up until recently, I wanted to put that on my tombstone. Can you imagine, like, going through a cemetery and seeing that on somebody's tombstone? I don't want my name. I don't want the dates. I don't want nothing. Up until last year, I was going to have on my tombstone, "Please don't believe everything you think," and nothing else, in as big letters as possible. But now, last year, I said something to somebody, and I said, "No, that's what I want on my tombstone." And now what I want on my tombstone, unless it changes, so if I die soon, please make sure this happens. It's in writing and it's in audio. What I want on my tombstone is, "I was thoroughly entertained." That's what I want on my tombstone. Because, you know, up until, you know, 20 years ago, I was thoroughly depressed and miserable. But now that I've discovered these secrets and now that I've... See, I consider myself to be sort of a spiritual guinea pig. So there's stuff that I've come across, and then I just like play with it as deeply as you can or as deeply as I could. And then if I find value in it, those are the things that I share with people. And so I've always considered myself to be sort of in a spiritual experiment, literally. And... And, you know, 2 weeks ago, a close friend of mine died from alcoholism. I've had many conversations with him about the solution. He was a high-end psychiatrist. He was a very, very bright man, which equals he has a bigger problem. The smarter you are, the worse your problem is. Because your thinking is the problem. Just died from alcoholism, was sober for a long period of time. 2 years ago he went back out, couldn't stop, dead. Yesterday, a friend of mine from Arizona, cancer all over his body. He's been dealing with cancer for many years. Cancer all over his body. He told me that if I ever call him and his phone is shut off, that means he died. Yesterday I called him and his phone is shut off. Sometimes our damage is so bad that even after we get sober, too late. Two beautiful, amazing people. And, you know, listen, God has a plan and I need to know it. And as far as I'm concerned, it's all good. I just personally don't find value in suffering anymore. I just don't. I met my quota. I suffered enough and I tortured people enough. I just don't want to live like that anymore. And I'm grateful for the people that have been my teachers, and I'm grateful for a lot of material that I've come across that on forgiveness and love and a lot of stuff that I shared some stuff during this workshop that I've never shared anywhere. So I'm really grateful to have the opportunity. This was really cool for me. The way that I go about speaking is that Don Pritz, who is a really, really great AA member who died some years ago, He said something to me one time, and it always stuck with me. He said, somebody had asked him about, you know, because he speaks a lot, so they asked him, you know, how is speaking a lot for you? And Don said, he goes, I'm all right with it, but I approach it differently than most people. So the guy said, well, how do you approach it? Now, this is a great member who's about to share a secret, so, you know, I moved over, you know what I mean? And he said that the way that I speak is that I approach it by thinking as I'm walking up to the microphone, if I die tomorrow and this is my absolute last talk ever, what would I want to say? And I was just like, wow, that's a whole another level. And I sort of adopted it, and that's how I try to go about it. And it's nothing new. I learned that from him. I'm sure he got it from somebody else. I don't know. But it's just, life is just too short, ladies and gentlemen. Life is too short. Nobody is guaranteed tomorrow. Two close friends of mine are gone. The only thing death has to show me is that you have to make the most of each day because you are not guaranteed tomorrow. You have to make the most of today. That's it. That's all we have. Did you make the most of today? If not, we start all over again tomorrow. We always just assume that it's never going to happen, and then it happens. Wow, I got really serious real fast. All right, snap out of it. So, oh, meditation, right, right. I don't even know what topic I was on anymore. Yeah. Give yourself 1 second to just retreat, to be still. In the midst of an argument, in the midst of busyness, in the midst of turmoil, there is 1 second that everyone has to simply be still, to let it all fall away. Whatever is going on, whatever opinions you have, whatever fight may be happening, or even whatever agreement may be happening, just take a moment. Retreat into yourself and be still. Tell the truth about what's here. It's always here. Does anybody have some tissues? My nose is leaking. I have a t-shirt at home. I was going to wear it today, but I forgot. It's the really, really great Pink Floyd album called Wish You Were Here. Thanks, darling. And it's just the album cover with the tour manager that they lit on fire that day. Which actually is a true story, by the way. They were pissed at the tour manager, and they made him do it. Or else he'd be fired. And for me, that's my statement about life and the people around me, is wish you were here. Because generally, you know, we're thinking about when we get home later. And, you know, we can't be happy until we get the car, until we get the house, until we get the boyfriend, until we get the education certificate, until the kids leave the house, until we retire, until we can take 2 weeks off. You know what I mean? We're in a constant state of not yet. I don't know if I said this here, but how many people here consider themselves to be spiritual seekers? My response to that is it's too bad. It's not about seeking, it's about finding. Being a spiritual seeker is a good way to start, but one of the tricks of the mind is seek but do not find. We have to find the moments in our life where we can just be all right. You know, I gave you guys that exercise on, you know, what are the things that nurture you? And then, you know, are you doing them? You know, I remember having a conversation with a guy, and he said that, you know, he always used to love playing basketball with his kids, but they don't do that anymore. So I said to him, well, you know what your homework assignment is for the next week, right? And he was like, no. And I said, go play basketball with your kid and make sure you do it every week. He hadn't thought of that. These kind of things are really, really important. But we get too busy, you know? We just get too busy. We get distracted. So, please close your eyes. Again, gather your attention at the tip of the nostrils, just observing the breath as it comes in and out in that area. Then going further and notice the sensations within the lungs as the air comes in and out. Now gather your attention at the top of the head. And we're going to slowly move down like a slow-moving elevator, noticing the sensation in different areas. So begin at the top of your head. See if you can feel the sensation of all the hair there. Or if you don't have much hair, then maybe you could notice the air in the room touching that area. But just become aware of the sensations at the top of the head. And then slowly begin to move down. Notice the sensations and the flatness of your forehead. Notice the back of your eye sockets. The side of your head and the protrusion of your ears there, and the sensations and the hearing that's happening there. And then the back of the head, the upper half. And then the lower half of the back of your head. Notice the sensations of the pointiness of your nose and the roundness of your cheeks. Become aware of the position of your tongue in your mouth. And the edge of your jaw all the way across. Notice the sensations of how your neck is holding your head up. maybe tilt it slightly forward and slightly back and slightly left and slightly right, just to feel the neck and the support that it gives. Gather your attention at your shoulders. See if you can notice if there's any stress there, and if there is, just try to relax. Your upper chest, the sensations there, the feel of your shirt on the skin, the activity of the lungs and the heart. Your upper arms above the elbow. The upper half of your back. The lower half of your back as it presses against the chair. Your elbows and the angle that your arm is at there. The lower part of your arms, your wrist, the forearms. Without moving them or touching them any differently than how they are now, see if you can notice each individual finger all the way across. Lots of sensations there. You can notice each individual finger. And then your belly and the sensations there. Your private area. The sensations of your butt pushing down into the chair from gravity. Your left and right thigh. Very large muscles there. The feel of clothes on skin. The feel of life energy in that area. Your knees and whatever angle they are at. The front of the knees, the back of the knees. The lower leg, the shins in the front and the calves in the back. And whatever sensations are there. Your ankles. Your feet. The many, many muscles and the many, many bones in your feet. The energy in and around your feet and the sensations there. And maybe very slightly, just wiggle your toes and see what that feels like. And then pull back and notice the sensation bubble of the whole entire body. What we are is a sensing organism for the divine. A huge bubble of energy and sensations. Now allowing the awareness to go wherever it wants within the body. Even after we open our eyes, keep aware of the awareness. Even when eyes are open. And when the time seems right, open your eyes. I'd like to share one last thing with you and close with this. If we know anything about the path at all, it's only because of the great ones that have gone before us. Out of their love and kindness, they have left some footprints for us to follow. So in the same way, what they wish for us, we wish for all beings everywhere, including ourselves, to be safe, to be happy, to have good health and enough to eat. And may we all live at ease of heart with whatever comes to us in life. May we all live at ease of heart with whatever comes to us in life.